Look with me, please, at verse 16. The shepherds came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. The august contemplation. What a scene is this! There never was a scene like this before among the sons of men and on this planet Earth. And there will never be a scene like this again. I tell you, no words of man could describe this momentous scene. As the shepherds contemplate, and as their eyes and their hearts are drawn out in their attention to what was in that cattle shed. There was a mother. She had just given birth to her child. There were the cattle. And there was a newborn babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in the manger of straw. These shepherds had gone out that night to attend their flocks. They had done it many times in the years before. It was just their ordinary occupation that they were engaged in. Little did they think that night when they left their homes and went out to attend to their flocks that something was going to happen that never happened in the world before and can never happen in the world again. They were going to have the sight of their lives. Of their eyes and their lives, but they were going to have the sight of their eternities as well. They were going to see what princes and priests and prophets had longed for to see and had waited patiently to see. Theirs were not a vision of something in the natural world, or something in the philosophical world, or something in the scientific world. This vision had to do with the great eternal world of the spiritual, and with the everlasting God of the whole earth. It was something that they had not expected and something that could never ever be exceeded. They had first of all seen an angel. He had burst the bonds of his invisibility and he had come down to make a great announcement. What was that announcement? It was simply this, that day, the angel came and said, "Fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, and this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And after the angel had spoken, thousands of angels appeared. Maybe millions, for all we know. Because it said a great multitude of angels. Thousands and tens of thousands of angels appeared. and they appeared shouting, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man." Those poor shepherds, ignorant men and unlearned, they were caught up in the melody and the harmony of celestial beings who, from the day they were created, stood in the presence of God and worshipped Him with holy worship. Here was the music of the heaven of heavens. And after they had seen the angels departed into heaven. But the King of angels stayed on earth to be seen of angels, as Paul tells us in his epistle. And so these men hastened. They came with haste, having been shaken with great fear. They came with haste. They saw this scene. What a scene it was. For the first time, human eyes had looked upon the person of the eternal Son of God. For the first time, the Word was made flesh and tabernacled among men. They were struck dumb with fear at the beginning. And then their tongues were suddenly loosed to declare the mystery that they had seen. What does it say? It says that when they had seen it, verse 17, they may have known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. The first person they accosted as they left the cattle shed door, they said, "In there, the King has been born." They went up and down the streets of Bethlehem that night, and they declared to all and sundry the mighty fact that the King of kings and Lord of lords now dwelt in a cattle shed wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Oh, the wonder, oh, the glory of this august contemplation of these shepherds. But let me bring you back to the angelic annunciation. The angels came to announce the wonderful birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Angels praising God. Thousands and thousands of them occupying the hills where the boy David minded his sheep. Occupying part of the land that has been known as the Holy Land, because it's the land of the everlasting covenant of God with the Abrahamic race. The multitude of that heavenly host that night must have been tremendous. I wonder how many angels were left that night when Jesus arrived upon this earth. The greatest fact of all is that the angels returned to their duties in heaven, their God-appointed duties, but the King of Angels stayed on in this sinful, vile earth to do something. What did he stay to do? He stayed to accomplish the Father's will. The midnight that night was as black as ever it had been. But suddenly there was a brightness. It was the brightness of the angels. And it is called the glory of God in this portion. Oh, it was so dazzling, so supernatural, that we read the shepherds shook with fear. What had happened? God had appeared, and for the first time had been seen of his creatures. The infinite God, where is he? Heaven and earth cannot contain him. He's a babe, scarce a span long. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes. He's lying in the crib in the manger. Who would have believed this? That child is the Ancient of Days. That child was born of a woman, yet he is the mighty God, now enthroned in our humanity, made in the likeness of sinful flesh. He wasn't made sinful flesh, for no sin could be upon him. He is the untainted and sinless Christ. But he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that you and I might be redeemed. It seems so simple. A babe born. No room for that babe in the inn. The mother delivers that babe among the cattle. She has no flowing robe to put upon it, so she wraps it in swaddling bands, and she lays it in a manger. The first great Christmas gift was wrapped by Mary, and it was laid in the manger. Oh, the wonder of it, that he who was rich for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might be rich. But let's look again. And as we look again, we find this abounding proclamation of these shepherds. They not only wondered, they not only beheld the wonder, they not only shook with fear, but they became witnesses to what they had seen. They didn't say one to another, "We'll conceal this matter. People will laugh at us if we talk about God in Christ lying in a manger. Who would believe it?" Oh no, they went out and they told everyone. I love this message that we have here. And what did it say? When they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning the child. What was the saying? That there is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, a light to enlighten the Gentiles and the glory of his people Israel. These unlettered men were real proclaimers. They were not learned or scholarly, but they were perfect eyewitnesses. They told it as it was. Oh, and what a telling that was that night in Bethlehem. People were aghast. People were shocked. Many were unbelieving. But among some there was real faith, knowing that the Old Testament prophecies had at last been fulfilled. And thou, Bethlehem, thou art small among the cities of Judea, yet out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. What a proclamation these shepherds the end. What a scene was here. It wasn't a royal palace. It was a cattle shed. There was nothing royal about it, except one thing. That the babe that was born far exceeded all royalties that had ever visited earth before. The royal prince of the Most High God. He whose resting place was in the bosom of the everlasting Father, found a resting place in a cattle shed, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Oh, what a sign was this! Oh, what a Savior was this! Oh, what a message was this! That Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what these shepherds so wonderfully proclaim. Notice fourthly, the arresting consideration. What does it say about Mary? Mary was arrested. She kept all these things. She couldn't escape from them. She kept them. She couldn't forget them. They were written into her inmost soul, and she kept pondering them in her heart. Mary herself was arrested by what the shepherds told her. She kept all these things. They couldn't be forgotten. They were inescapable as well as arresting. Mary was not the center figure in this frame, as Rome would like to make her. Christ the Savior alone dominates and will continue to dominate the picture right to the end. He is and remains forever the central figure. All others are eclipsed by the splendor of His glory. All others fade while He increases to be magnified. That in all things He our Lord Jesus Christ might have the preeminence. Crown Him with many crowns. Son of God and God the Son. A babe lying in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The first garment that touched the human flesh of the child Jesus was a swaddling band. That was the same cloth that touched him after he was dead and was taken down from the cross and washed. It is the badge of burial. Jesus' first suit was a death suit. Jesus came to die. He was the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. Oh, and the simple people of this world have learned this truth. And they have come into the full knowledge of eternal life. And they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. A great preacher once said, while scholars fumble for the latch key and can't open the door, the poor, simple men and women of this world can come by simple faith. And the door opens miraculously and they enter in. And they see it as the shepherds see it, and they believe to the salvation of their soul. Oh, what did these shepherds do? They returned. They returned to look after their sheep and after their flocks. But they returned new men, changed, transformed, miraculously different because Christ had not only been born in Bethlehem, but Christ through that birth had been born into their hearts, and within them there was Christ, the hope of glory. There is a birth that needs to take place in your soul, dear sinner friend, tonight. It is the new birth, whereby you become a partaker of the divine nature of the Savior and are born into the kingdom of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Marvel not, said the Lord Jesus, that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Apostate churches speak of church membership, church baptism, church confirmation, and all the ritual that the church can muster up. But all the ritual of the church blots out the one and only Savior. But the true church of Jesus Christ has one message, and it is the message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. Neither is there salvation in any other. There is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Look with me at this passage. Look at verse 17. This, dear sinner friend, is where you need to start tonight. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. What saying? The saying that Christ was the Savior and Christ was Lord. If we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, we shall be saved. And these unscholarly men, these unlettered men, these poor shepherds, they believed with their heart and confessed with their mouth, and they were saved by God's grace. And in the millions and millions of redeemed who at this very moment as I preach stand in the great city of God and hymn the praises of the Most High God, those shepherds are all there. For they found that night the good shepherd of the sheep, and the good shepherd giveth his life for men. I would plead with every soul in this gathering tonight, unsaved, uncleansed, unredeemed, to come to Christ tonight. This can be a happy night for you. This can give you this night the same thrill as was given to the shepherds. You can go away and you can tell as they told, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Do you want cleansing from sin? There's power in Jesus' blood to do that. Do you want your heart healed with the healing of God? There's plenty of power in the Savior's nail-pierced hand to do that. Do you want that great burden lifted from your conscience and your mind? Jesus knows all about our struggles. He can lift your burden. He can set you free. Do you want to know peace? Jesus Christ came and preached peace. Jesus Christ came and offered peace. And Jesus Christ can give you peace that passeth knowledge and all understanding. Everything is in Christ. He's the lily of all valleys. He's a bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Oh, sinner, tonight come to Him. Don't try to make yourself any better, for you can't. Just come as you are. The darker the sin, the greater claim He has on you. What did He come to do? He came to seek and to see if that which was lost, He comes to see if lost men. Christ Jesus came into the world to see if church members. Never. He came into the world to see if sinners. Are you a sinner? You know you are. Are you lost? You know you are. Just come to Him now. Come! Come! Come to Jesus! Oh, for a trumpet blast that will go right round this world. And what should it be? Come to Jesus! Come to Jesus! Come to Jesus. I was in a nursing home this week. There was an old lady there, very tired and very weary. She was coming to the end of the journey. I said, "Dear, how are you?" She said, "Mr. Paisley, I'm just hanging in. I'm just hanging in on life." And I said to her, "Dear, have you got the Savior?" She says, "I have." Well, you know what He said in His Word? "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." And her face lit up, and she repeated the verse after me. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in His Word, He has shown us the way. Here in our midst, He's standing today, tenderly saying, "Come, come," and there's 10,000 welcomes for you in Jesus Christ, my Lord and my God. Let's bow our heads. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I would urge upon you, dear sinner friend, to close with Christ. There's a room here on my right-hand side. It's the Kirk Session room of the church. I'll go straight to it as I leave the pulpit. Come and talk with me. Let me show you from the Scriptures the way to heaven. Let's get this matter sealed for time and eternity tonight. Oh, press into the kingdom of God now. Father, we thank Thee for Thy wonderful word. And we thank Thee, Lord Jesus, for Thy wonderful coming to this world. And we thank Thee for all that Thou hast done for us sinners. And I pray tonight that men and women and boys and girls may come to Christ today. You not only came, but You died. You not only died, but You paid the debt. You not only paid the debt, but You rose again. You not only rose again, but You ascended to heaven. You not only ascended to heaven, but at this very moment, You're praying for us. You ever live to make intercession for us. Oh God, visit all our hearts and bless all our souls for Jesus' sake. And the people of God said, Amen and Amen. Dear sinner friend, remember to meet with me tonight. And let's get this matter of your soul's salvation settled forever. Amen.